Thank you, Jeff, for that testimony and the reminder to us that when hardship comes, and it will come, when hardship comes, that we have a couple of options in front of us. We can choose to trust God and know that He hears our cry and He's there and He cares about us. And He's able to get us through. A second option is that we can turn towards fear and worry. Or we can try to handle it by ourselves. And that's not a good option. Because oftentimes the trials that we are in are much bigger than what we are. And so let me encourage you as we're looking at this theme for 2026, trusting God, and that Proverbs 3 passage is encouraging us to trust God with all of our heart. Let me encourage you to do that. And it will be so much of a better response for us. I want to say thank you to Elijah. I know Elijah's out there in the gym working, getting ready for the dinner to follow. But Elijah has preached the last 3 weeks and done a wonderful job. He's been preaching on trusting God with our marriage. And if you by chance missed any of those sermons, I want to encourage you to go to our website and listen to those sermons, because he was right on in what he was saying about marriage. We're blessed to have Elijah here, aren't we? Amen. We're so thankful for him. I love working with Elijah through the week. He's just the real deal for Jesus. And I want then to follow up his 3-week series of sermons on marriage with a 3-week series of sermons on family. To trust God with our family. We need all the help that we can get with our marriage and our family in this day and age in which we live. Satan is out to destroy our family. And he knows that if he can destroy the family, then he has destroyed the most basic support group that we have. And if he can destroy the family, then that's going to have an effect upon every aspect of our life. If he can destroy the family, it's going to have a destructive effect upon the church. He knows this too. If he can destroy the family, it's going to have a domino effect upon our schools. And you that work in the schools see that every day. As there are kids who literally are in a mess with their life, but if you look just a little bit deeper, you see that the family behind them is in a mess. It all goes together. And so Satan has got his sights set on the family. He knows too that if he can destroy the family, then society in general is going to be affected greatly. In fact, society will be at risk if the family is destroyed. And so I know all of us would agree with the fact that the family is under attack. It always has been and it always will be. But seemingly over these last several generations, the attack has just got that much more intense. And we must figure out a way to protect our family from the evil one. Let that sink in for a moment. We need to figure out a way to protect our family from the evil one, and I think I have the answer to that today. Just hear what I have to say, and put it into practice. And this is the basic premise of the whole sermon. We protect our family from the evil one through prayer. Let that sink into your mind. We protect our family from the evil one through prayer. Someone sent this to me recently, and it really made sense to me. It's a quote by Pastor Robert Jeffries out of the Dallas area. He said this, "Our prayers are the link between God's inexhaustible resources and people's needs." Wow. God's resources are inexhaustible. That simply means there is no limit as to what God can do. There's no bottom, there's no measurement that goes this high, and once you get to that point, God can't do anything beyond that. No, His resources are inexhaustible. And as we call out to Him, we can tap in to those inexhaustible resources on behalf of other people. And in this case, we are talking about those people that we love the most. We are talking about our family, and we are asking God to protect our family from the evil one. You remember Jesus' model prayer in the Sermon on the Mount? He said, "Dear God, deliver us from the evil one." And that's what I want to challenge you with today, that we would go to God in behalf of our family and pray for Him to deliver us from Satan's attack against our family. Pray a hedge of protection around your family. Maybe you're familiar with this from the book of Hosea in the Old Testament. I know a few weeks ago, I think it was Elijah's first sermon, he talked a little bit about Hosea and his story, but he really didn't go into this particular part of the story. Hosea, God's prophet, was told to do something very unusual by God. He was told to go and marry a harlot named Gomer. And you say, why would God tell Hosea to do that, to marry a harlot? The marriage was to be a vivid illustration of God's relationship with His beloved bride, Israel. God loved Israel, but she kept betraying that love by going after other gods. And that's exactly what Gomer was doing with Hosea. Hosea loved his wife, but she kept betraying him by going after other lovers, and one can only begin to imagine the hurt that Hosea was feeling. He was trying to be a devoted husband. His commitment to her was extreme. I mean, he loved her. He was committed to only her. He had said his I do to her, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness or in health, to love and to cherish until death do us part. But her relationship back to him wasn't so faithful. And she was the extreme opposite of Hosea. Time and time again, he'd wake up at night and she was gone. And he knew exactly where to find her, down in the red light district. And so he'd get up out of bed, put his clothes on, he'd go down. Sure enough, there she was. He'd find her. He'd get her, he'd bring her back home, only to have her go again and again and again. It had to be a heart-wrenching situation for him. And so what did he do? Besides going back after her time and time again, what did he do? He began to pray a hedge of protection around her. I want to read to you Hosea chapter 2, verses 5 through 8 from the New Living Translation. Hope that you will follow along with me as I read this passage to you. Their mother is a shameless prostitute and became pregnant in a shameful way. She said, "I'll run after other lovers and sell myself to them for food and water, for clothing of wool and linen, and for olive oil and drinks. For this reason," Hosea says, "for this reason, I will fence her in with thorn bushes. I will block her path with a wall to make her lose her way. When she runs after her lovers, she won't be able to catch them. She will search for them but not find them. Then she will think, 'I might as well return to my husband, for I was better off with him than I am now.' She doesn't realize it. It was I who gave her everything she has, the grain, the new wine, the olive oil. I even gave her silver and gold, but she gave all my gifts to Baal." That's a pretty sad situation, isn't it? His wife is running around on him with other lovers. And so what does the prophet do? Does he get his sword out and go after them? No. Although that would be very tempting for him to do, as it would for each of us if we were in his shoes. It would be very tempting to go out with a vengeful spirit. "I'm going to take care of this problem and those who are helping cause it." But that was not his response. Instead, he begins to pray a hedge of protection around his wife, a figurative hedge of thorns to grow around her to keep evil influences away from her and her from them. I want you to see this picture. A hedge of thorns. Now, a lot of us, we like to hunt or we like to go out and we're making our way through the field to a pond to fish, and we deal with thorns. I'm talking like the blackberry thorns. And I've been out hunting quail and hunting pheasant, and I'll know a bird's over here and I've got to get my way through the thorns to get to that bird. I'd rather not do that, but I deal with it. Now, if the thorns are thick, I'll find a way around. But if they're like this, there's no way. There's no way I'm going to try and go through a hedge of thorns like that. Hosea is praying such a hedge around his wife that her lovers will leave her alone and go in the other direction. In this case, I'm encouraging you and me to pray a hedge of protection around our family that Satan would not be able to get to them. That he would go pick on somebody else because our family members have been prayed over and they are protected from him by this hedge of thorns. They are untouchable to him. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus and through his blood's power, would you place a hedge of protection around my kids and their families, that this world cannot have power or influence over them. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, and through his blood's power, would you place a hedge of protection around my family, around my marriage, Lord? Would you protect my marriage? And Lord, would you protect the marriage of my kids? And would you protect the marriage of my grandkids, that Satan cannot have his way in their lives? I mean, this is a prayer that all of us need to pray. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus and through his blood, would you place a hedge of protection around my grandkids, that this world will not be their home and their passion, rather that they will be passionate about you and that Satan cannot get to them. That's the prayer I'm challenging every one of you to pray on a regular basis. Our family needs these prayers of protection, and sometimes prayer is all we can do. But let me say this. I don't want that to sound like, well, you know, it's my last resort. I mean, I've tried everything else, and so I guess I'm just going to pray. No, that's not what I'm getting at today. Prayer should be our first response. When trials come, prayer should be our first response, and we should have prayed up over our family this hedge of protection. We should have been praying this before the trials do come. Prayer makes a difference. Prayer works. It can't be our last resort. It has to be our first response in this war against the prince of darkness. We love our family too much to leave them as targets for the devil. We love our family too much to leave them unprayed for. We're talking about the souls of those people that we love the most. And if they are not with Jesus, let's be honest with each other. If they are not with Jesus, they're with the prince of darkness. And their end is destruction for all eternity. I'm talking about what? What could be more important than that? We are in a battle with the devil. We are in a battle with the prince of darkness. And the first thing we should be doing as we are fighting this battle, we are preparing ourselves for this battle, we are praying for our family. Jesus talked in Mark chapter 3 about binding the strong one and then plundering his house. Read this passage of Scripture as I'm talking to you. I want to ask you the question, who's the strong man in this passage? The strong man is Satan. And Satan is after the souls of our loved ones. So we need to bind the strong man in the name of Jesus so that our loved ones' souls can be delivered from his power. We're in a battle for the souls of our family members, and this battle is not one that we can stand toe to toe with our enemy, and we can fight him and we can hit him and give him an uppercut. No, that's not how we can fight this enemy. He's too strong for us. He's too sly for us. He's too persistent. He has no time off. He takes no vacations. He's on the prowl 24/7 like a lion seeking whom he may devour, the scripture says. But our God is stronger than our enemy. And so we cry out to him in prayer. We go to him and we ask for a hedge of thorns to be placed around our family members. Moms and dads, you've got to do this. Grandparents, you have to do this. Because it's just that critical. The souls of those that you love. In 1620, the Pilgrims were on the Mayflower. And they're sailing across the Atlantic in the middle of a storm. And a man named John Howland, I have a picture of him. I was reading about this even this morning, just making sure my details in this story were accurate. And it's amazing what those people went through on the Mayflower. It took them 66 days to cross the ocean. The last half of that trip was one storm after another that was absolutely rocking that ship to its limit and beyond. There was a beam, they said, and a beam that had cracked, and they were afraid the whole ship was going to crack. There were 102 people, pilgrims, 37 crewmen. Those 102 people their place on the ship was down below. And it was really a pretty limited space. And they said, you can imagine the seasickness that was going on down there in that hold. And the smell. And just and so John Howland, he's got to get some fresh air. And he goes up in the middle of one of these storms. He goes up and he opens that trap door and he's up on the deck of the ship, and that ship is hit by a wave and it does this, and guess where John Howland ends up? In the ocean. And normally that would be just, it'd be death for sure. But God's grace, as he went into the ocean, he managed to grab a rope that was trailing the ship in the water behind, and he held onto that rope for dear life until the crew managed to pull him back to safety. And as I was reading even this morning, they said that they pulled the rope, bringing him into the ship, and they actually hooked him with something. I suppose some kind of a long staff with a hook on it. They were able to hook probably his clothing and bring him up. Saved his life. John Howland, he lived. He survived. He made it to America. He got married and became a prominent leader in the New World. He helped broker a treaty with one of the local Indian tribes there, and they celebrated that treaty at the first Thanksgiving. Eventually, he and his wife would have 10 kids, from whom would come an estimated 2 million descendants over the years, and I could tell you names of his descendants, and every one of us here would recognize those names. Poets, authors, actors, political leaders, governors of states, 2 of them, 3 presidents descended from John Howland, business leaders, singers, preachers. I mean, think about this. Had it not been for that one rope, think about all of the leadership, all of the wisdom, all of the business sense that we would have been without in this country. Please understand where I'm going with this. We are in the middle of a storm that is tossing our ship back and forth. And that storm is affecting us. It's affecting those that we love. And there is one rope that we can grab a hold of in the middle of the storm. And it's our prayer link to God the Father, our prayer line. We cry out to Him amidst our storm, amidst our desperation, amidst the battle for our family, and He hears us. And He will pull us in, and He will get us through the storm. Brothers and sisters, don't let go of that rope. Hang on to that rope and keep calling for Him. It's one of the best things that you can do when it comes to this idea of trusting God with my family. Oh, we can try and run and fix our family's problems. And definitely we need to put in the good work to help our family amidst the storms of life. But for sure, hold on to the prayer line that connects you with God. What you can do isn't near what He can do. Remember, our prayers are the link between God's inexhaustible resources and people's needs. Entrust your family to God by being a prayer warrior for them. Pray for their salvation. Pray for their spiritual growth in Jesus. Pray for your marriage. Pray for the marriage of your kids and your grandkids. Pray that your kids and grandkids will be protected from predators and unholy friendships. Pray for them to trust God, to know what it means to trust God when life gets hard for them. And it will. Pray for them to be led by God in what they choose to do with their life. Pray for your family to be in heaven together, that there will not be one person from your family missing from that holy city, that eternal home. Pray for your family to realize that everything they need is in Jesus. It's not out there in the world. It's not in a new car. It's not in a new house. It's not in a new job. It's not in a special vacation spot that we can go to. No, true life is found in Jesus. And you can have all of that other stuff and not have true life. How about this? Pray with fasting for your family. Pray with fasting for your family. Jesus said, when the bridegroom is gone, my followers will fast. We should be fasting and praying for our family as the spiritual battle is raging around them. And Satan, he's seeking to devour your kids. He's seeking to devour your family. And so, pray and fast. This hedge of protection around those that you love. Pray with fervency. Pray continually. Pray consistently. Pray in faith and pray in Jesus' name and know that the prayers of a righteous man or a righteous woman are powerful and effective. Let's pray. I just pray, God, that the message will convict us all. That it will move us. The Holy Spirit will move us to being prayer warriors for our family amidst the storm. And we know the storm is raging. And we know the devil is after all of us. And so help us to fight the fight in the name and the power of Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.